Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Well, welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday evening of the yard. It's been a busy day. Mondays have kind of been that way for a while, having to record later and later. A lot going on in the world of Mississippi State. We got a lot to get you caught up on today. And I want to tell you guys, too, hope you guys had a great weekend. You know, the holiday season is here. 8 shopping days left, Mom. Eight. And many of you say, but Steve, you know, you always say, Mom, Dad's got to shop too. But let's be honest about that. Dad's got to shop for one person more times than not, and that's Mom. You know how it is in your family. Mom does all the shopping. Mom handles the finances. That's how things work. So, I mean, I'm sending out the warning call to her, right? I don't want to alarm you. I've got some great gift ideas for you right out of the gate. Right out of the gate. Now, if you looking for a unique gift idea, a cool experience, you can come float. Buy one, get one free floats during the month of December. You can buy the gift card now and use it later, right? You got time to use it. 662-268-7601. Contact Danny directly. We've been selling a ton of BOGOs. That's a great gift idea. Maybe you hadn't thought about that. It's like, you know what? Hey, I've always wanted to try that. Well, you could buy that as a gift for them. It's really a gift for both of you, right? It could be a couple's night, a date night, maybe a friend's night. And give them the gift and say, hey, here's the better part of the gift. I'm going to come with you. Let's buy one, get one free on those gift cards. Jeanspage.com, 50% off the annual subscription price. And right now is a great time. I don't know if there's ever been a better time outside of a coaching search. I'm really proud of the work that we've done. I know it's upset some people, and I got some news for you. If you don't like that kind of stuff, I'm going to stack up a whole lot more things, too, that you're not going to like. We're going to keep working hard. We're going to keep breaking news. We're going to be your eyes and ears, and we're going to be able to get people on the phone. Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we live for. And then, of course, dropped off some more signed stock. Like, it was crazy. Like, just when I thought I had my day kind of planned out, I get a phone call. It's like, hey, can you run by the warehouse in Starkville and replenish some local vendors? Book Martin Cafe had one copy of The Dude left. They have sold hundreds of copies. One copy left. Went by and replenished them and had to sign some more stock, too. I mean, you guys have been buying the other stuff. When the Bottom Fall was selling really well, too. Thank you guys so much for that. And then I had to head to Gumtree Books over in Tupelo. They were completely sold out of The Dude. And so you're be happy, those have been replenished. And if you can't make it, you can order online at dutynoblebook.com. All of my sports titles are there, along with When the Bottom Falls. So we're trying to make shopping made easy for you, right? Simple as that. There's some things you can do to support us. Give us a better Christmas, too. Yeah, that's my gift, right? Like, if you want to buy me something or support me, you know, then, you know, buy a book, sign up for the website, or float. And to be honest with you, as much as I love them all, you're kind of giving a gift to me and the bride when you float, right? Because she's running the show. I mean, she is. And yeah, listen, I give my wife a lot of credit, man. Tons and tons and tons of hours, man. And she's such a good steward of money, man. It's, you know, she's just one of those kinds of people. She's like, hey, you know, for the first couple of years, I just want to be very hands-on. And I want to make sure that everybody has a great experience. And so you get a chance to meet her. And that's been kind of the fun part of this, too. So many of you have met her. And you kind of realize that even though that you know, she hadn't really been in the spotlight, she is not in my shadow. She is the light to my path. And so we encourage you to come out. Again, when you buy a gift from us, you're buying a gift for us as well. And we certainly appreciate that. So looking forward to having you guys back in Stargirl. And again, so much going on. We're going to get you caught up on some portal news and kind of some things that I expect to happen here in the days and week to come. So this is the last week of visits before the dead period. Dead period is going to run till January 5th. Now, the portal closes December 28th. That's the last day to declare, though. You can still pick your destination. We go through this every portal window, and for some reason, it's just difficult for some people to grab. They think, oh, you know, it's not National Signing Day, okay? So the portal guys just have to declare by the 28th and then have to be enrolled, you know, by the drop ad date. And there's even still a wiggle room with that. So I'm going to update you on some of that stuff. And we'll get ready to kind of move forward. Got a cool top 10 list for you today. I got one coming on Wednesday I think is going to make some of you angry. I'm just gonna, let me go ahead and give you kind of a 48 hours notice. Top 10 list on Wednesday is going to make some of you angry. It's going to make some of you tough. And some of you guys are going to reach out and say, you know what, Steve, right on. I agree with you. But there's going to be some of you that are kind of delicate little flowers that don't like, you know, don't like the truth. Gonna upset you. I'm just telling you, it's music related, okay? I'm not coming for next today, right? But on Wednesday, I'm just telling you, Wednesday's top 10 list may be something that people are gonna ask me about. Say, Steve, you know, this is just not right. And I said, well, no, it's true. Yeah, it's true. At least in my estimation it is. So there you go. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show, and I love them. I do. I love them. I was one of their first customers. Hey, Dad, and I went in there, had a great time, and I remember we said, these people are going to make it. And they have. They've expanded their empire, too. You never know. Bulldog Burger Company may be coming to your town at some point. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool, right? Bulldog Burger Company, the best place to go break bread in Starkville. When you put your feet under their table, they just kind of take care of everything. And I love that about them. I love a good buffet every now and again, but sometimes I just want to be waited on. And I know that sounds a little bit narcissistic, but the reality of it is, there's a reason you go out. It's like, let somebody else handle the service and the cooking, and you can just kind of focus on what's in front of you, whether it be a date or family night or just visiting with friends. Everything is better when you're breaking bread. Break bread with the fine folks at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you better looking and everybody around you. We all need more of that. Make America a more beautiful place. Eat more spring rolls. Get a great restaurant quality hamburger. And I love the fries there too. We don't talk about that enough. They give you a lot of fries too. A lot of times people give you a lot of fries because maybe they're trying to get rid of them. You know, the folks at Bulldog Burger Company do a great job with those fries, man. It's great. Be sure and check them out. And again, three great locations for you. University Drive here in Starkville is the flagship. And get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. Or perhaps that Shipley's donut bread pudding. And you'll ride that ride home with a smile and maybe even have a little bit of a palate cleanser for later in the evening. You know how it is. You get full and you get lazy and all of a sudden you start thinking, man, I wish I had something sweet. Well, take care of that ahead of time, right? You deserve it. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. First thing that I want to say about outgoing portal traffic. Of course, we haven't had a new entrant in a few days. That's a good thing. And no matter how many times we preface it and try to prepare people and say, hey, the bad news comes first. And not all of it's bad news. It kind of depends on how you interpret it. You know, there's a lot of our folks that, you know, you get to know their names a little bit. You know, you see them on TV and you feel like you know them. You know, you feel like, hey, these guys are part of our family. And we're kind of learning, you know, in the new portal era, in the NIL era, that family is somewhat conditional, right? You know I'm telling the truth. But, you know, we wish these people well, just not against us, you know? Matter of fact, I text text one of our outgoing Bulldogs, and I told him, I said, hey, I've enjoyed covering you this last year. Wish you the best. Just not against us. Appreciate your contributions to Mississippi State. And we just kind of move forward, you know. I don't harbor any ill will towards anybody that left. Now, I'll tell you, I haven't always been able to say that. You know, we've had some people in the past, you know, times that have been bad actors. And there's a couple guys this year, too, that probably a good thing that they've kind of moved on. But you're starting to see some decisions. Linebacker Ty Cooper headed to Tulane. And Ty had a lot more production this year than I think most people expected. But he just never really found like his true home position-wise here. And, you know, there was a lot of concern even when he was coming up. It's like, you know what, is he really a defensive end? What are we going to do with him? We ended up playing him some at end, played some at backer, you know. He's headed to Tulane. And John Summerall and those guys have done a great job at Tulane. Of course, John, a finalist for our job, had a great run at Troy. And so I think Summerall will know how to use him. You know, of course, big news out of Tulane is they retained John Summerall. A lot of people thought it was a done deal that he was going to North Carolina. And how about that as a resume builder for John Summerall? It's like, yeah, Bill Belichick took a job that I turned down. Did you consider that aspect of it? Isn't that pretty neat? But Ty's headed to Tulane. Wish Ty the best. He is a great young man. And came in here and kind of waited his time, bided his time. And really, his time never really came. This year was, the most production that we've seen from him. So happy for him and his family. And Ty's also, you know, he'll be a Mississippi State alum. All right, Kevin Coleman, no surprise there. Kevin Coleman headed to Missouri. As soon as he announced, if you're a member of jeanspage.com, and you certainly should be, and again, you can get it for half off the annual price, immediately I told you guys he's going to Missouri. Like in the same thread, hey, Kevin Coleman's in portal. I said he's going to Missouri because the deal was already done. Yeah, I mean, it was already done. We talk about it all the time. We think, hey, these guys already know when they're going before they enter. And more times than not, they do, especially big-time players. Well, that was the case in this Kevin Coleman situation. So I had some insider trading there I could share with you. And immediately somebody said, hey, he's going to visit A&M. Guys, I mean, if nothing else, the last week has taught us is you can't believe everything on Twitter. You can't. Maybe you didn't know that before, but you can't. I know we want to. We want to believe that everybody is well-intended and everybody's well-sourced, but the truth of the matter is they're not. I miss on some things too, but if I go put it on Twitter or my message board, I'll let you know if I'm confident about it or not. But a lot of people just want to be first, right? They want to push it out there first, and then when things don't go the way they forecast, they just kind of quietly go back and change their prediction. You know, as things change, I update my crystal ball, but if I go to the trouble putting a crystal ball pick in, I feel really confident about it. And that was the case with Kevin Coleman. And, you know, Drew, those guys at Power Mizzou do a great job. And, you know, we compared notes. And he told me then, he goes, hey, this kid's never leaving Missouri. You know, he's not. He's not leaving Missouri. He'll take the visit. That'll be done. And it was. And I wish Kevin the best. It's not against us. All right. Gabe Moore. Have you kept up with this Gabe Moore thing? I always liked Gabe Moore. I don't know that he's committed yet, but he's set to visit Nebraska. Yeah. Set to visit Nebraska. Now, it's been an interesting run with Louisville kids, too. I mean, honestly, I mean, for the last decade or so, I mean, really, you can even go back to, like, the Nice Thames. I mean, it's like we get some very talented guys, but it didn't always work out. I'm not sure exactly sure why that is. But, you know, but Gabe's a guy that, you know, to no fault of his own, didn't get to play this year. And so I'd like to, you know, see that work out for him. Bryce Pollock is headed to Texas Tech. Should be no surprise there. Darcell McBath, former Mississippi State corners coach, is back at his alma mater, Texas Tech. He's working as an analyst, but obviously there's a relationship there. Obviously, you know, Darcell recruited Bryce to Mississippi State. And guys, we had some corners go in the portal really out of protest that Darcell McBath wasn't retained at Mississippi State. And Darcell and his family loved it here. They wanted to stay here. And I don't know that that was handled real well, you know, by the previous coaching staff. It's just my feeling. This is my feeling. I think we could have done more. My feeling. But anyway, I thought Darcell did a good job here at Mississippi State. So there's a relationship. So Bryce headed out there, and what's interesting about that, too, is, you know, Texas Tech's being very, very aggressive in the portal, spending some mad money. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, kind of what we're seeing and what we're hearing. But yeah, I'm kind of glad we're not having to face Bryce. I mean, Bryce, to me, may be the best contributor on defense that went into the portal. I think that's a fair assessment. It's not really a hot take. But yeah, that's one of those guys, I wish you had him back. I mean, people are like, well, you know, he wasn't great. I thought he was pretty good. Yeah, I mean, we talk about the Pro Football Focus grades. And again, that's not always accurate. But Bryce is a guy, whether or not you agree if he was really good or great, we can all agree he took a big step forward this year. Had to play last year as a true freshman, and at times made some freshman mistakes. He was a lot more consistent this year, a lot more consistent. What, you know, not elite maybe, but it just kind of shows you that there is a development path for him, and I wish he'd have been here. McCallum Pounders now headed to Louisville. And it's interesting, too, McCallum Pounders kind of told people he was going in the portal except for our people. I think we expected it, but the reality of it is, he has now moved on. I always thought, I was always a little bit worried about him playing left tackle in the SEC. Because I thought he really had more of a guard build or maybe a right tackle build. I mean, playing left tackle in the SEC, that's grown man football right there. And, you know, Mac struggled at times and ultimately lost his starting job to a true freshman, Luke Work. And so, that's not why you sign Pounders, you know, to be a reserve or kind of bounce around on the interior. But he leaves, and you know, we wish him the best. It's a pretty crazy story, you know, his recruitment and how that stuff happened with Ole Miss. But, you know, it is what it is. Mike Van Buren, of course, headed to LSU. And one of our astute posters made this opinion piece. And he goes, I doubt Mike got what he was asking for from us. And I doubt that Mike got guaranteed the opportunity to start this year. And I would say those things are probably correct. I would love to know what LSU paid him. It's not our business, but I'd love to know, you know, what he ultimately settled for. You know, but Garrett Nussmeier is the dude down there. Now, Van Buren obviously can go in there and compete. But I don't know that Michael Van Buren, other than moving to LSU, which is a great program, has really changed his stature much. And that's not me being critical. I don't think anybody out there in the Power 5 or Power 4 level was going to guarantee Mike the start this year. He's a true sophomore. And we think Mike's very talented. You know, Mike made some big plays, made some mistakes too, but just going to be up and down with young quarterbacks. But I think whoever, you know, and maybe it was Mike himself, but and people kind of jumped in there and said, hey, you know, Mike, this may be the best situation. You go to LSU, they got a senior starter, and put you in a position maybe to be the starter at LSU. It'll be interesting to see if Brian Kelly's there in 2 years. But, yeah, I mean, you'd love to have seen him transfer out of the league. You would. But, yeah, no beef with Mike Van Buren either. You know, Creed Whittemore headed to Utah. Makes me wonder, you know, if maybe Bumpus wasn't involved in it a little bit. You know, Bump loves his guys. Bump used to wear a Creed Whittemore hoodie out to practice, you know. Makes me wonder maybe if not that Creed needed anybody to advocate on his behalf, but I suspect Chad, being the guy that he is, he probably kind of spoke up and said, hey, you know, here's the situation with Creed. So I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. I'm confident somebody at Utah called Chad Bumpus just to kind of get a reference. You know, what kind of kid is he? That kind of stuff. And so that's interesting. Okay, so incoming transfers, Mississippi State is now up to 7. 7 transfers. Wide receiver Jerron Glover from Michigan State, Power 4 guy. Edge, Red Hibbler from NC State, Power 4 guy. Safety, Jerron Manning from Old Dominion. And then the new one today is offensive lineman Jesse Rommel from James Madison. His dad, Michael, was a letterman at Alabama. We also recruited his brother, Stanton Rommel, in 2023. Ultimately lost him to Michigan State. But interesting, right? It's a guy that played left tackle, but, you know, right, 6'4", 6'4 and a half. Graded out pretty well. Could be a McCallum Pounder situation, though, right? I mean, you know, maybe you're a left tackle in the G5, but in the Power 5, maybe you need to slide inside. I'm told that he can be a flex guy and play to one. So that's your newest addition. And, of course, Edge, Nevaeh Sanders of Northern Illinois. I shared this with you guys too. His pressures to snap count percentage is ridiculous. This is a guy that is a pass rushing specialist. I don't think he's an every down player, but I think he is a guy that brings something that we lack this year, and that's a guy that can impact the quarterback. We've discussed him a little bit already. I think he's a good piece. I don't think he's a difference maker on every down, but I think in third and long, I think that he is a guy that we'll be glad we have. Wide receiver Brennan Thompson, I'm supposed to talk to him tomorrow. Brennan wrapped up his official visit to Mississippi State today. He was a guy that committed prior to the visit because he is a believer in Jeff Lebby and a Jeff Lebby offense. And Colin Kennedy, our counterpart at Oklahoma, told me this guy can absolutely fly. That he is one of these guys that if you don't get good pressure on him at the line of scrimmage, if you can't press him, it's trouble. And if he gets in the open field, there's nobody out there in pads that's going to be able to catch him. This is a guy that has ridiculous splits in the sprints. Nuts. Not the biggest guy. And as one of our astute posters pointed out, you know, we may be getting a little bit too small at wide receiver. I think we got to go out and get us an X somewhere. You got to get us a red zone weapon. You got to get that guy that can make plays outside the numbers with a good catch radius. But I need explosive football players. You need explosive football players. And when you think about the loss of Kevin Coleman, you need somebody that can turn that little six-yard hitch route into a highlight reel play. I think Brennan Thompson can do that. And of course, Javen Williams from Kennesaw State, the first portal commitment to join the class. And so that's your rundown right now. And of course, we're running through, working through our recapping visit stories and things like that. Now, some of these guys are not wanting to talk, or they're deferring to their agents, right? And so basically what the agents are telling us is like, hey, once they commit, once they make a decision, then we'll have a comment. But we're going to work through this process. And a lot of that, too, is, the agent just didn't want the kid to maybe say anything that convolutes his own recruitment. And I understand that. But the flip side of it is I...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. For you to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
I think press is good. If you're trying to get out there and create some buzz for yourself, it's a good thing. Do some media stuff, do some interviews, let people kind of know what's going on with you. Because then what happens is people like you get involved. Like, hey, I really want this kid. And you post on message boards or on social media, and it creates a little bit of hype behind some of these kids. Now, some of these guys don't need it. The proven performers. But if you're a guy that's maybe jumping up from G5 to the Power 4, I think you need all the press you can get. I don't know if you just don't call a press conference. You need to get your name in the paper. Your name may be in the portal. But if people don't realize that you're out there, you're just another name in the portal. And it's all about raising the ladder of awareness. And we talk about this all the time on the show. I learned that years ago reading a marketing book when I was running a small town furniture store. It's like you need to be involved in as many things as you can to raise your level on the ladder of awareness. They always talk about the first time people hear something, they tune it out. The second time, they kind of take notice. And the third time, they pay attention. It's like, oh, yeah, what is that? I've heard about that. What is that about? So you want to get at the ladder of awareness. And so I think you need to do media. Maybe not do a ton of it, but you need to do some. Because I can tell you, as quickly as things work for us, and we have an army of folks over at jeanspage.com. But like earlier today, one of the guys put in our group text, "Hey, I got Thompson." I'm like, "Who? Thompson? Who?" You know, or "I got Williams. Who?" You know, that's what happens. Is there so many names that are out there. So you can only begin to imagine, you know, the cacophony of information that is out there for coaches. It's like every single day you got people monitoring the portal and looking for guys in your personnel group that may be going in. Then you got to go pull that and you got to review that tape and say, "Hey, is this guy good enough to play here?" Well, yes, he is. Find him on social media. We'll send him a DM. So you got a contact order in there or no contact order? Oh, it doesn't matter. We're going to contact him anyway. What's his phone number? Then you got to call the coach of his outgoing school and say, "Hey, what do you think about him?" I mean, there's just so much to do. You know, there's so much to do. And I have so much respect for our staff and really staffs around the country that are having to work through this process. That's an important aspect of this. If you think you can just wait till the data portal opens, and I think in years past we've done that. It's like, well, we hadn't really done our due diligence, you know. And what's interesting about that is a college coach at another school reached out to me about Michael Van Buren. And he said that every quarterback in the SEC, that they have already got an evaluation written on them. That all throughout the year, they go ahead and write the evals of these guys just in case they go in the portal. Just in case. He said, not just the starters, but the backup. Anybody that plays, they go ahead and put an eval together. So when a kid goes in the portal, they've already got that already digitized. You can pull it right up and say, "Hey, here's our eval of this kid and what we saw, even if we didn't play against him." And he goes, "Of course, you hear things. You know, as guys, you know, everybody's got an agent now. And as guys begin to get disenchanted in their current situation, you know, their agents start reaching out to people. So what do? You go ahead and do an eval. You know, so if and when the kid goes in the portal, you're prepared." Guys, that's the only way to survive in the jungle, man. You can't sit around and it's like, "Oh, okay, well, you know, Joe Bob Billy Frankenstein went in the portal today. Hey, anybody know him? Let's pull his tape." Well, by this time, there's already a graphic going out that Joe Bob Billy Frankenstein is going to take three visits. You think that all happened that morning? It didn't. And people talk about, well, there was tampering. Well, when you've got a rep, you know, calling around saying, "Hey, Joe Billy Bob Frankenstein, if I can get his name right, is probably going to go into portal. Would you be interested?" Well, they're already out there as a third party working to market their client. So all of a sudden they go in the portal and it's like, "Yeah, we're in the portal now. We'll go ahead and set up those visits." And so don't be naive about it. And everybody thinks, "Oh, well, there had to be this and had to be." Everybody cries about tampering. Like I've seen more Arkansas fans crying about the Ole Miss stuff this week. You know, it all makes perfect sense to me. Like when I go back and look at the connections and things like that, it makes me really, the bigger question is, and not to be in defense of Ole Miss, but to me, the bigger question would be, if I'm Arkansas, Matt, what is wrong at Arkansas? You know, why are people leaving the program in their final year to go play for an SEC competitor? What's happening at Arkansas? And this was supposed to be the year they kind of, you know, righted the ship. And now you got guys leaving. And of course, that was the book on Patrick Kudus. And I like Patrick Kudus. I tell you, when we got ready to play them, they were all excited about Kudus being back, being healthy again. And they thought he had a bright future. Now all of a sudden, people act like he's trash. You know, I think I'm going to be more inclined to believe you when you had him than after you lost him. Just my feeling about it. But I just get tired of all the whining on Twitter. And we got people to do it too. It's true. But the reality of it is many of these decisions maybe haven't been made yet, but everybody kind of has a pretty good idea of who's interested in who when they go in the portal. There are some of it's pretty, still pretty organic, and a lot of these guys don't have great agents. You know, they got somebody just kind of getting started or whatever, and they send out a bunch of emails, and they want 10%. You know, that's part of the deal. But I can tell you that, you know, a lot is changing in recruiting. And I don't think it's very positive. Now, I don't want to have the whole get off of my lawn speech And I don't want to have the whole anti-free market economy speech. But I spoke about some of this the other day, and maybe I didn't articulate it well. And maybe some people just didn't misunderstand. And then other people simply just don't, you know, they just don't see it. Ross Dellinger wrote an article some weeks ago and basically explained, and I saw it today, explained what I've talked about. Guys, there is no cap right now. I don't know why it's difficult to understand. The House settlement hasn't even been voted on. It's going to happen in April unless it changes again. And then it's going to be late June, early July. I think it's July 1st. You know, again, it moves quickly. But there are a lot of people out there that I think believe that collectives are going to go away. And I don't believe it's true. And after talking to a few people around the league, there's a lot of talk that, you know, the collective is going to continue to exist to kind of handle the corporate deals and really the way that NIL was intended to be. Let's like say, for an example, let's say Joe Bob Billy Frankenstein gets an NIL deal with Adidas. And so, you know, he's going to wear Adidas and all his social media stuff. And that'll be a deal that would be handled through the collective, right? And again, it's just an example. But the money you contribute would go to, like, the Bulldog Excellence Fund. And everybody's going to have those. You saw Florida State, Mike Norvell signed an extension, which is kind of weird. They signed an extension, and his new deal is going to donate a big portion of his salary to their Excellence Fund. And so the way that I understand it, and I may be wrong, the way that I understand it is collectives are going to continue to exist, but not for individual donors. The individual donors are going to be directed to these excellence funds, and then, because you're not going to have pay for play. And so then the collectives, again, as I understand it, are going to be kind of handling the corporate deal. You know, so like if, you know, Subway, like they did with Will Rogers, Subway wants to do a deal. And they're supposed to be like this third-party watchdog group. Like the deal is going to be put in place, and then they have to verify that, hey, this meets the rules, that there is a quid pro quo, that everybody gets something, which is what the NIL was supposed to be in the beginning. And so it feels like we are slowly getting there. But, guys, this talk about a cap is not existent. Period. Right now, there is no cap on what people can spend. And I've been told that there are some schools out there, they're paying a signing bonus. And if you're still with the team post-spring, and don't be surprised if you don't see a big rush of portal guys in the spring. And I mean from guys that transferred in, transferring out in the spring. And so there are people out there that are also saying, hey, there'll be a retention bonus. So you get your signing bonus, you make the team in the spring, you're going to get a retention bonus, and then you get to the summer, and then the rev share hopefully will be approved and kick in then, and that'll kind of carry you the rest of the way. But there are a lot of schools out there, and it makes me wonder, if they're draining the collective reservoir now for this class, what does that mean next year? Are you going to be able to replenish those funds? I mean, you've had a few years to kind of get this thing back up. And now you're telling everybody, hey, push things in the Excellence Fund. What are you going to have next year to kind of differentiate? Because, again, there's not going to be a cap. And I don't think some people fully appreciate that. There will be a cap on the rev share side. But there are going to be people out there, of course, that generate more funds and more money and more donations. They're going to be able to use that as part of their impetus to recruit. I don't know why that's difficult to understand. I don't know why it's so complicated. Sometimes I think it's not the news, it's the person breaking the news. Right? They're like, I just can't stand for Steve to be right. Well, let me just tell you this. You might want to get comfortable. You think I just pulled this out of thin air? I talk to people around our league, and there's a lot of concern about this. And there are a lot of people out there, too, that, you know, hey, they're going to continue to do business as they always have. And if you don't think there's some dark money out there too, you're kidding yourself. Which blows my mind, because why would you put yourself or your university at risk? We hear about it all the time, though. I mean, you've got a vehicle now to legally pay players to come to your school. So why would you jeopardize it? But there's some people out there that are, I guess, egomaniacs, and this is what they do. But it's just incredible to me that some people are so incredibly naive. They think, oh, this is all it's going to be. No, it's not. That's not how it is today. That's not how it's going to be later. And until they put in some very rigid and very timely rules and all this stuff, it's going to continue to be the Wild Wild West. I've got coaches around the conference that have told me they've never seen anything like this. There is no recruiting relationship anymore. And, you know, what's amazing to me, and I think some people, you know, I think maybe we were all a little bit naive. I don't want that to come across as a personal shot. I think we were all a little bit naive about a few things. Do you remember the last couple of years when guys would opt out of bowl games and say, I'm going to get ready for the draft? And there was some criticism of that. And then, of course, there are those out there that always have to play devil's advocate like they know better. And they said, oh, this is a meaningless bowl game. They shouldn't run the risk of that and jeopardizing their future. And there's really only been one guy that's ever happened to. But the thing that I bring up is, guys, now you got people opting out of the playoff. You got teams that are in the playoff, and their players who play are going into the portal. Guys, we can't even protect the integrity of the playoff because we have let NIL and the transfer portal become such a big thing. We're in a situation now where guys are like, you know what? I'd rather go get a deal from somebody else and maybe go buy a car and maybe have a cool apartment and some money in the pocket than compete for an NFL championship. We're making some changes that I don't think are very positive, and I think it impacts the integrity of the game. You know, it's just like, you know, we're recruiting somebody's kids too. You know, and that's the thing you ask yourself is like, hey, Steve, you know, Joe Bob Billy Frankenstein is going in the portal. Oh, I thought Joe Bob was going to play special teams for us in a playoff this weekend. No, he's going in the portal. Well, who's gonna take a spot on kickoff coverage? Well, I don't know. Well, let's go get let's get our third team guy. Well, coach, he's in the portal too. You know, he wasn't playing. He wasn't even going to be on the dress list. So he went in the portal. And so that's the thing that I go back to. And again, not to be critical or, you know, hey, you know, we should have known. But I kind of understood, even though I didn't like it, I kind of understood. Yeah, hey, we're going to the Gator Bowl. Yeah, I'm not going to play. You know, I'm going to opt out. I got to get ready. You know, again, I have so much respect for Montez Sweat, Jeff Simmons, and Jonathan Abram that went and played in the Outback Bowl for us. And, did it hurt their stock? All three of them were first-round draft picks. You know, it's nuts, right? You guys made some money. And we're still talking about that. I mean, they could have been selfish and said, you know what, nah, I'm not going to do this, right? And then when did Jeff Simmons get hurt? Remember that? Jeff Simmons tore his ACL in pre-draft workouts. Not in a ball game, not in a practice, in pre-draft workouts, and still was a number one draft pick and then signed a big deal, the second deal, you know. And so I share that because I think it's important because of the fact that you've got players that are contributors to teams that have worked their tail off and made the playoff, only to find out on last Monday that a guy they were counting on is like, hey guys, it's been real, but I'm done and I'm leaving. And I understand it. The world is a world of power and everybody is true to themselves. I get that aspect of it. Everybody's looking out for themselves, looking out for number one. But they're going to have to fix this. Because now you begin to think about, and maybe it doesn't happen this year. Maybe it does. Maybe it happens next year. You know, what does that do for, like, say, Alabama, right? Well, they were the first team out of the playoff. And so what happens when you have a playoff team that gets gutted in a portal and goes out there and puts together a terrible performance in a playoff game. And so the team that took the field was not the team that the committee evaluated and ranked as playoff worthy. So what happens? And so again, I think we have upset the apple cart in a way it's going to be difficult to correct. And so they're going to have to put some rules in place. And everybody's like, well, you know, what about bonus, you know, bowl retentions and things like that? Guys, some of the money that's getting thrown around out here, I don't think you guys get it. And I think at times we were very naive in the beginning of this process. Guys, you have average players getting $40,000 to $50,000 a month. $40,000 to $50,000 a month. Many of them are making more in a month than you're going to make in a year. And that's an average player. One of the things I joke with a friend of mine about, and I said, man, you know, the average student out there didn't have a chance to get a date anymore, right? I mean, kind of call it for what it is. It's like, hey, I'd like to take you out and eat to, you know, let's go to Bulldog Burger Company and get some spring rolls. Oh, I'd love to go, but, you know, hey, our quarterback is taking me to Paris this weekend. And it sounds absurd. It's going to happen. Remember when it was a big deal? We'd all go to Club La Vila, down to Panama City. We'd go enjoy the Redneck Riviera for spring break. Can you begin to imagine what the spring break photos are going to look like this spring? It's crazy, man. It's nuts. And the thing, and I've mentioned this on the show before, how are we going to prepare these kids for real life? It's like, hey, you come in here and you're getting all this money and it's great. And okay, now you didn't get drafted. You're not going to be a pro. Okay, well, I want to go into coaching. Okay, well, here you go, $40,000 a year. $40,000 a year. I was making $40,000 a month in college. Yeah, well, this is the real world, kid. You're not going to be able to maintain that standard of living. I'm just calling it for what it is. And so I think the whole system is broken. I am happy that the players are getting a share of the revenue. I think that's the right thing to do. But the way that this money is getting tossed around right now, I think we have some dark days ahead in college football. You know, you don't hear as much of this in the other sports, but in football, and I think a lot of it's because, you know, the TV deal is so lucrative and, you know, you have 100,000 people show up to watch a college football game. You know, there's a lot more invested in the game. There's a lot more made on the game. And it's right that they would share in that. But, you know, the numbers that are being thrown around out there are ridiculous. I remember a time, and of course, you know, I'm an old guy from the 1900s. I remember when it was a big deal, like when we found out that, like, Ole Miss paid somebody $10,000 to sign with them on signing day. And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this. $10,000. And now guys can legally get $40,000 to $50,000 a month. It's nuts, man. It's like the bizarro world. It is. But it's a way that we're going to have to figure out, you know. And again, this rev share money has to be spent. It is going to be the law of the land. It's not like we can say, we're just not going to pay them. Well, then, you know, you're going to get sanctioned by the court, not the NCAA, the court. So you got to spend the money. And it's a strange new world. And, you know, I think we have some smart people in charge. But the reality of it is, I don't know that anybody was really ready for this, truthfully. Not just Mississippi State. I don't know how anybody could be. I mean, there are players today that are being offered more than, you talked to Marcus Dupree thing, the courtship of Marcus Dupree was crazy. It's all legal now. That's what's crazy. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair. BLAIR.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. You know, they don't tell you a lot about adult life when you're a kid, but you need a mortgage loan officer. You do. You never know when you're going to need them. You never know when life is going to throw you a curveball, whether it be a relationship change, a job change, maybe a change in familial status. You just never know. Hit up Blair at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. That number goes directly to Blair. Not a call center, not a receptionist, directly to Blair. You can call or text today. Blair's the guy that keeps up to date on the latest underwriting guidelines, the interest rates, all that kind of stuff. He can tell you when it's a good time to buy, when it's not. Also, too, Blair's the guy to get you pre-qualified for your loan. You want to see a motivated real estate agent, and we have some amazing ones in the Mississippi State family. You get that pre-qualification letter. They'll have you shopping at your means and get you in a home sooner rather than later. And if you ever bought a house, you know as well as I do. Sometimes, man, it's nuts. It's nuts. It is. Make it easier on yourself. Get Blair's 24 years of experience and know-how working for you. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. Again, that's closeatblair.com. Okay, thought we'd have a little fun today. So it's going to be, I know many of you love Nirvana. So this is not Nirvana Day. Well, sort of. We're going to have songs with Nirvana in the title. How about that? I'm just being smug and petty. I am. Truthfully, I am. So I thought we'd have some fun with it. There's some meditative music in here. There's some rock music in here. There's some dance music in here. I think it's a cool list. I do. And I know people are going to see when Roy tweets it out, oh, Nirvana songs. Steve finally did it. Wrong. So here we go. Songs with Nirvana in the title. We're going to start with S.A.P. with Sweet Nirvana. It's a little different. I think you'll like it. It's a bit of a vibe in that respect. Number nine, R.A. Pete. I mean, we got some newcomers on the list today. Sweet Nirvana for them too. This has also got a little bit of a dance vibe to it. Now, number eight, I think this is a song that many of you need to listen to before you get on social media. Or maybe after social media. It's an instrumental, and man, it is quite the vibe. Do you guys remember that that Channing song years ago, Sadness Part 1? You know, remember that? It's kind of like that. It's Bidu, B-I-D-D-U, Bidu. The song is Nirvana. I absolutely dig this one, man. I do. It's not really my normal thing, but I think you'll dig it. Number seven, kind of the impetus for our list today. I'm a big Reels guy. I love getting on the Instagram and the Facebook Reels and Twitter Reels. I do. I enjoyed that. I mean, you get, 30, 40, 50 seconds of cool stuff. And because of the fact the algorithm knows that I'm a music lover, I get a lot of new bands that pop up in my Reels. And one that popped up I thought was pretty cool. Now, I've listened to some of their other stuff. It's not as strong as this song. This is not going to be like your next favorite. Now, they build themselves as your favorite band's favorite band. No, come on. Let's not get carried away, guys. But it's a band called Her Leather Jacket. This song rips, man. It's called Nirvana and Cigarettes. It's kind of like looking back, early 90s, those girls you chased, guys you chased, I guess. And that's what we had. We were painting our names in wet cement. And we listened to Nirvana and had cigarettes. It's a good rock song, though. I dig it. I think you're going to have some fun with that one. Nirvana and Cigarettes by Her Leather Jacket. Number six, another vibey song. And you can imagine picking Nirvana. There's a lot of that. It's an artist named Imy, I-M-M-Y, Imy. And it's getting its Sweet Nirvana. Now, this is more of an R&B type song. But I kind of like the percussive quality on this one. I do. Number five, it's Ina, I-N-N-A, Ina. And we're going with Nirvana. And again, this is kind of one of those kind of meditative, pulsating type songs. I think you'll dig it. And number four, now some of you that know modern rock know this band. And you're going to be like, Steve, I've been waiting for this. I don't know if we know enough songs from them to go do top 10 on them. But they're a very solid band. They're not a death metal band. They're not a thrash band, but they do some of the heavier stuff. They also have some melodic stuff. It's a band called Pierce the Veil. Great song called Past the Nirvana. I don't even know what that's about, to be honest with you. But I dig the song. I think you will too. All right, you're going to know our final three artists. Now, let me give you a little caveat before I give you number three. This guy has kind of got off the deep end in the last year or so. When he first hit the scene, people were like, oh, look at him. This is so sweet. And, you know, he just seems like such a gentleman. And then next thing you know, he's like on stage dressed like the devil. It's funny how that works. But there's no denying his talent, and it's Sam Smith's Nirvana. Sam Smith, Nirvana. And again, I don't judge people by their politics, especially when it comes to music. Because if I listen to everybody's politics, I probably couldn't listen to a lot of music. It's Nirvana by Sam Smith. Number two, good dance track, probably the best dance track on our list. You know, and many of you kind of boycotted her music after she did the corndog thing at Ole Miss when she was the game day picker. And no, she wasn't a fan. Losers. It's Katy Perry's Nirvana. I like Katy Perry. I liked her when she was married to Russell Brand, too. And Katy Perry's very talented. I know many of you have kind of grown to love her again because of her work on American Idol. But Katy Perry, a very, very talented young lady. Fun to look at, too. But number one, the band fronted by the singer that my youngest son is named after. That's right, Ian Robertson is named after Ian Astbury of The Cult. And we're going to go back to the Love album. It's Nirvana from The Cult. I'm pretty confident. Is that Love or Electric? Let me just double check. I don't want to mislead you. I think that's Love album. And the Love, like if you, many of you like the, I'm trying not to play the song, but sometimes it pops up. Yeah, it's on the Love album. A lot of people like your gateway album into The Cult was Electric. And some of the earlier stuff is super cool, too. Like when Rick Rubin got involved, he goes, hey, The Cult's a rock band. And then they released that incredible album, Sonic Temple. Absolutely love Sonic Temple. Of course, they opened for Metallica on that tour. That was the And Justice for All tour for Metallica. Many of us saw them together in Jackson, Mississippi. We still bear the scars. But the Love album, to me, is probably the most homogenized deal. Like when they were just kind of beginning to find their sound. And I think this song is kind of indicative of that. So it's The Cult, Nirvana, your number one song with Nirvana in the title. Now we're going to have another Nirvana-themed type list on Wednesday. And I know it's going to hurt some feelings. I know. But we're going to do it anyway. Right? Maybe we'll just make this Nirvana week. Maybe. You guys have been wanting a Nirvana list. Maybe I give you a week of Nirvana list, but not the way maybe that you intended. Thanks, as always, for your support of the Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by closesblair.com. If you have an idea for the Top 10 List, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on X at dogmatic67, dawgmatic67. Our great list also on Spotify under the great handle Dogmatic67. You can just follow along there, and we'll have these great lists just kind of show up. You never know when you're driving, you want to listen to something new. And this is a very eclectic list, and some of this is not going to be for everybody, but I think you'll dig that. And we still get a ton of requests, but a lot of the requests have already been done. And occasionally, you guys will send me something that I haven't thought of, and I appreciate your feedback as well as your contributions to the Top 10 List. And I got another one, kind of another one that you guys are really, really excited about, the Poison list, which is still our most listened to list, which is weird for me because I wasn't a big Poison fan. But I've got something else in mind for some Poison stuff, kind of coming up, you know, kind of similar to our list on Wednesday, kind of. And just so you guys know, CeCe DeVille can't play guitar. I mean, I know, like we had the big hair, and he wore the polka dot shirt sleeve. I get it. But he was the worst guitar player of the genre, of the era. I'm just saying it for what it is. I know some of you don't like that because you thought he was cute, and that's fine. But a lot of people more talented than him. And I like rock guitar players. It's just me. And again, thanks as always for your support of the Top 10 List. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. If you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise, look no further than Campus Bookmart. You'll be glad you did. The best selection of Mississippi State merchandise in the known universe. Don't overthink it. And don't go out to one of these third-party vendors that don't know what maroon looks like. If not, you'll have your kids walking around in crimson shirts and say Mississippi State on them. You don't listen, there's enough bullying going on in life. Don't make it more difficult on family, right? We need to be a unit all wearing true maroon. Miss Kathy Brown, the great buyer at Campus Bookmart, she knows true maroon. Many of you learned that the hard way during after an AFL championship. Like, hey, I went and bought this from so-and-so, and then their shirt shows up, and it's not even close to what it should be. Deal with Mississippi State people that know what Mississippi State people want. That's Campus Bookmart. Visit them next time you come to town. If you can't make it to town, to see their smiling faces. And when I go in there, I get a complimentary hug. Maybe you don't, but I do. I always get a hug when I go in there. I do, whether I buy anything or not. It's like going to Cheers, you know, where everybody knows your name. But if you can't make it up there to see them and see about that complimentary hug, you can visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, many of you are tuning in to see, hey, Steve, I saw that you crystal balled the Florida State quarterback to Mississippi State. I feel good about it. Matter of fact, I feel really good about it. I didn't lock him in as a 10 because, you know what happens? You know, Florida State all of a sudden says, hey, you know, listen, we need to get you back, whatever, you know. I mean, you never know. I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen or that's even an option, but you never know. You know, we had a guy just the other day. I got some good info on him and found out that he was going to stay at Florida. And he's in the portal, and I'm like, oh, no, he's going to stay. You know, it's how life works sometimes. So the first thing I want to do is explain to you how to say his name. People have just been calling him Luke. I can't even say his first name. Luke. And I said, Luke, before we get started, I need you to tell me the correct pronunciation of your last name. And this is the way he broke it down to me. It's Crow, then Men, Hawk. It's not Crow and Hoek. That's how it reads. Phonetically, that's how it looks. But it's Cromanhawk. Croman Hawk. Croman Hawk. Luke Cromanhawk. And my hope is that you will get to practice that. And I can't even begin to imagine, you know, in the event he comes here, as I expect, how many times that our fans will butcher the name. So you're learning it here, right? If you didn't watch Florida State play this year, you may not be sure how to pronounce that. But, you know, he's now, you know, part of our deal. And, you know, we're hoping that he'll go ahead and announce his decision. Now, after speaking to him, I feel confident about it. I wouldn't have went and crystal balled him if I didn't feel confident about it. I don't do that. There's some people out there that don't even care about their crystal ball percentage. They just kind of put it out there just to put it out there, right? It's like, well, you know, I need to get some juice. There are a lot of people, you know, guys, there's some people in my industry, like my own feeling, and you say, Steve, you shouldn't have an opinion about everybody. That's what my wife would tell me. Don't have such strong opinions about everybody. And I really don't. I've gotten better with that. I'm not quite as judgmental as I used to be. But there are some people that use the crystal ball as a marketing tool, right? And what I mean by that is they don't really believe what they're saying. That's just, they just kind of put it out there. Like, we used to have crystal ball day at 247. So they would encourage everybody, hey, go do a bunch of crystal balls today, even if they're not right. Just go do it to kind of create a buzz. And then a lot of you guys would say, hey, the Ole Miss guys have, picked this guy to, go to Ole Miss, that we're expecting to go to Mississippi State. Well, that's part of the plan, right? It gets you talking. Well, I just don't approach it that way. I mean, and listen, I've taken it on the chin a couple times this year trying to be a good guy. But I crystal balled Luke to Mississippi State. Now, let me tell you my thought process behind it. And there's a lot to it. I'm looking up... So my 2025 accuracy on the crystal ball this year is 24 of 29. So I've missed on five. And let me go back and let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So 19 in a row correct. And I got jobbed on a Xavier Hardy thing because I picked him to commit to State, and he did. Of course, he flips on signing day. So that counts against me. And then I had a pretty good run beyond that. You know, that, but yeah, looking at the other ones that I missed, you know, it's just crazy how this stuff works, right? And it used to be such a big deal. Like everybody wanted to be, they just go follow the leader and put a crystal ball pick in for everybody. I missed on Trent Sellers. He's an edge guy that I thought was coming to State, and that was way back in April. And so all of these, like, I've only missed on one since the spring. Kevin Otis, I knew that he was flipping, and I'd have told Rion, we'll just take, I mean, I say flipping. I knew that he was going to commit to Arkansas, and he told us as much, and we made him a graphic. And I said, I don't want to betray the kid's trust. And so we'll just take the whipping on it. Same thing with Cortez Thomas. Matter of fact, I'm the one that called David Johnson and said, hey, is Cortez Thomas a take? And he said, yeah, he is. I said, well, he wants to commit, so you need to call him to a story. So I don't feel bad about those few that I missed, but I don't say that to praise myself. I'm just trying to explain to you guys how seriously I take this. I don't go put a crystal ball pick in just for the fun of it. And there's sometimes still I even forget to do it, to be honest with you. But a lot of times I do it to give you guys a little confidence. You know, it's not a contest. I mean, there's no prize at the end of the year. And it's interesting, too, like looking at my all-time numbers here. I've been better at picking Alabama commitments than any other team. Pretty nuts there. Probably just because low numbers. But the reality of it is, I'm just trying to make sure you guys understand, I don't treat this thing as all willy-nilly. I don't. Other people out there do. And it's like, hey, they tweet this out. Well, then what do? You go run to the message board, right? Oh, what are they saying? What do they know? And sometimes they don't know anything. They're just trying to drive traffic. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take a lost leader type approach to the crystal ball. So back to Krobenhawk is after speaking to him, he just said so many of the right things unprompted, right? When I interview people, and I give Scott Kennedy and Jimmy Newberg a lot of credit for this. Now, I used to never even identify myself as the Mississippi State guy. I do now. I mean, my name's out there, right? You know, I'm the owner of the Mississippi State side for 247 Sports. And maybe sometimes that helps me. I don't know. But when I interview guys, I don't just ask about Mississippi State. I don't. I don't call up and just say, hey, tell me all the things you like about Mississippi State. I ask about other schools. You know, do you plan to take other visits? Who else is in contention? I ask those questions because you never know. But when I worked for Scout.com, I wasn't just the Mississippi State guy. I had to cover Mississippi and part of Louisiana and Arkansas. And so I learned through that process to ask open-ended questions rather than just a request for a quote. Because that's what happens. A lot of times people already have their story pre-written. They just need a quote. You know, to kind of confirm their own narrative. And we didn't have crystal ball back then. I used to joke with these people that I was the original crystal baller in Mississippi because I generally knew. And that's one thing that I love about Rion. I mean, Rion is so connected with these kids that he helps me a lot. He really does. But one of the things that I ask Luke, because, you know, you start talking, it's like, what do you like about Mississippi? I mean, it's Jeff Lebby, it's the offense, and talking ball with him. And he recruited me out of high school. And, you know, I've had a great relationship with him. And, you know, I love what they do offensively at Mississippi State. I love what they did at Oklahoma. I'm excited about the future of Mississippi State. Well, that's stuff you expect to hear, right? But one of the things that I wanted to know was, outside of Jeff Lebby and outside of the offense, what stood out about Mississippi State? What did you like about State that wasn't connected to Jeff Lebby? Because, you know, he comes here in the first place because of a pre-existing relationship with Jeff Lebby. But what about Mississippi State? And he's like, you know, really enjoyed the campus, the facilities, the tour. He goes, but man, it's a family there. It truly is a family. And then kind of unprompted, the last thing that he told me before we had our final conversation, I hung up the phone, He goes, Mississippi State checked all the boxes. And that's the thing that I think about. And you can read that interview in its entirety over jeanspage.com if you're a member. Again, 50% off. But those are the things, like, what do kids tell you when they're not just trying to tell you what you want to hear? Right? I didn't ask him for that. Hey, did Mississippi State impress you? Did Mississippi State check all the boxes for you? He volunteered that. And then I asked him one time, I said, hey, did they talk to you about a decision? And he got really quiet. Like he wasn't sure what to say. And it made me wonder, maybe perhaps the decision's already been made. Because he kind of stumbled over his words a little bit. And I think that's an important aspect of it too. So you guys don't get to hear that. You don't get to hear the inflection in their voice. You don't get to, you know, to see their body language when we interview them in person. And there are some guys, it's like, you know, you get them on the phone and, you know, it used to be a funny thing and some of the kids have kind of caught on to it, but, you know, I'm a professional interviewer these days, but you ask a kid, it's like, okay, well, what schools stand out to you? And, you know, I used to do monthly updates with these kids in Mississippi. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Alabama. The next time you talk to them, well, who's kind of standing out? Well, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas. Well, who's getting out to you this month? Well, Mississippi State, Auburn, Missouri a little bit. You know, a lot of times kids are bad poker players. And I'm the kind of guy that'll take everything you got. And so there's context clues you pick up on. You know, when a kid continues to mention you first, you start beginning to kind of realize, and it's not alphabetical, right? That's in the forefront of his mind. The reason I say that is let's go back and look at the Jackson Arnold situation. I think there's some things, some parallels that we can learn about this because the portal recruiting process is still relatively new for us too. We've been doing this for a few years now, but you know, with the money being thrown around, it's a very unique year. The question that I ask you is, where did Jackson Arnold visit first? He visited Auburn first. Why would he visit Auburn first? Well, number one, I want to get in there first because I want to make sure somebody else doesn't get my spot. And number two, what that tells me is that Auburn had already built a relationship. And you know, one of the things that I've shared with you guys too on the show is that, you know, when the guys just don't wake up on Monday and say, I'm going in a portal. Their agents have already done some due diligence with them and for them, figuring out what they want and who's willing to meet that. And so Jackson Arnold, even though he played for Jeff Lebby, had a pre-existing relationship with Jeff Lebby. I don't know that he knew Hugh Freeze before this. I don't know. I don't know if they ever had a connection at all before this. But rather than go see Jeff Lebby, the coach that he knows, the play caller that he knows, first, he went to Auburn. And that ultimately never visited Mississippi State. Now let that sink in just for a second. Now Luke, Cromenhawk, had a lot of schools hit him up. Hadn't reported all of his offers and things like that. I mean, just he hadn't tried to draw a lot of attention to himself, which I like, especially at the quarterback position. It's going to be enough attention on you anyway. Who did he visit first? He visited Mississippi State. This is a guy, too, that had a pre-existing relationship with Jeff Lebby. Not as intimate as Jackson Arnold, but this is a guy that was recruited by Jeff Lebby. And I heard some people tell me today that he was kind of in a no-win situation at Florida State. None whatsoever. And again, with the, you know, quarterback turning pro, you know, things may change. You never know. Yeah, that's why we don't go 10. We go 90% because we feel great about it. But things change quickly in this industry, right? And so trust me, if he elects to stay at Florida State, which I don't expect, you know, I'm going to hear about it, right? And rightfully so. Because you come to me, you expect to get accurate information. Things change in recruiting. They do. They, especially in the portal, things change quickly. But he came to Mississippi State first. And I pushed him and I said, hey, what other visits do you have set up? And he kind of stumbled across his words a little bit. And he goes, well, you know, I'm still kind of figuring that out, you know. Okay, so what's next for you? I'm asking the same question again in a different way. Because you don't want to pepper them, but you want to give them thought-provoking questions to get a reaction, to get a response that makes sense. So what's next for you? Well, I'm going to spend some time talking to my family, kind of figuring out what we're going to do next. You know, we're going to take some time, kind of see. And again, he ends the interview on his own. Mississippi State checked all the boxes. So yeah, I feel really good about it. Bordering on great. And maybe we can go ahead and make that leap now, you know. And again, I'm just kind of interested to see now that all this, you know, the quarterback situation at Florida State appears to be rather fluid, you know, if that has an impact. You always have to leave a little wiggle room. But, yeah, if he remains in the portal, as we expect, I do expect him to pick Mississippi State. I think it's a great situation for him, too. It's a great situation for Mississippi State because basically he takes the Michael Van Buren spot. A freshman, had some up and down, will be a true sophomore next year. Michael Van Buren, of course, leaves, heads to LSU, will be a true sophomore. Both of those guys now, you know, playing behind an incumbent starter. You know, but I think I would play them both, my honest opinion. You know, Blake's a guy, too, that's been a little bit injury-prone. You guys have seen it, and we knew that before he came here. And then, you know, the crazy thing is the injuries are not related. You know, it'd be one thing if it was a recurring injury. You just say, you know, that guy's never going to get right. It just Blake's had some bad luck. But you got a guy now that's played in some powerful ball games that, you know, might even be a better fit. He's a bigger quarterback than Michael Van Buren. And I'm not talking poorly of Mike. I'm not that guy, right? I'm not that guy. It's like, well, you know, there's a few guys that have left. I'm like, it's okay. You know, it's fine. I was a Michael Van Buren fan, and I'll continue to be a Mike fan, except when he plays us. And I hope that he wears Ole Miss out every time he plays him. But you get a bigger quarterback that has a similar skill set. And might even be a better runner than Mike. He's got a little bit bigger build, you know. And so, you know, we'll see. And I'm interested to see what Mike looks like after a couple years in the weight room. But this is why you tuned in, right? You know, and so I wanted to kind of give you guys on the show, you know, just kind of, you know, some inside stuff that maybe I didn't put in an article, you know, because it's difficult to illustrate, you know, how people, their tone, you know, when they're responding to questions and things like that. I think it's important for you guys to understand that aspect of it. Now, I could be completely wrong. You know, we could wake up tomorrow and find out that, oh, you know, he's going to go to Miami. You know, you never know. He's going to go to Virginia. Things change in this game. And you guys pay us for, and you're not paying for the show, but, you know, you pay us to give you accurate information, and we do our best to give it to you. But, you know, listen, I know it's just like the David Johnson thing, and I like Dave. I know many of you, you know, have a negative opinion of Dave. I like Dave, and I think in many respects Dave and I will always be connected because of the COVID thing. And for those of you that have forgotten, I was sitting next to David Johnson. You know, when COVID broke out, we were all in Nashville. And David had been there for a couple days, walking up down Broadway with his family, kind of made a family vacation out of it, you know, in advance of the 247 convention. So we had all the SEC publishers in there, and I'm sitting next to Dave. And by the end of the day, Dave was like in the bed. He can't do anything. And he barely made it back to Oxford. And then, as you guys know, Dave ended up being, you know, in a medicated coma. And I got a phone call every day from 247. Are you feeling? Are you good? Are you? Because I sat next to Dave. I mean, Dave was with us the whole trip. And one of the first, I remember I gave Dave a little time after he got home, and I called him, and Dave got emotional, man. He did. He got emotional. He'd been through a lot. And he said, you know, he said, man, that one of the first things I asked when I kind of got my bearings is, hey, what about Steve and Mike Nemeth? Are they okay? Because in his mind, he was thinking we all got it. And he was very relieved to find out that we didn't. And I prayed for that guy every day. And we did our best to share their updates from, you know, from the spirit with you guys. Because at the end of the day, we may be rivals, but we're all people, right? We're all sharing the same existence, the same experience. But, you know, Dave is a guy like, you know, Dave kind of took it on the chin around signing day. You know, Dave comes out and says, hey, I think Saquon Miles is going to flip to Ole Miss. And I'm sure somebody told him that. He just didn't have the right source. And that happens. Sometimes you're not talking to the right person. You think you are. Especially when guys kind of emerge late. And that's what makes this portal thing so hard. And he also forecasted Tyler Lockhart to flip to Ole Miss. And he's talking to the kid, a very impressionable kid. And it didn't work out. But was Dave wrong when he hears from Tyler Lockhart that he's going to sign with Ole Miss to put a crystal ball pick in for Ole Miss? Of course not. But, of course, you know, our fans, that's the nature of the rivalry. You know, you want to go poke fun at their guy for being wrong. But I have some sympathy for that because we've all been in that too. My thing is I at least have some respect for people that will actually put a crystal ball pick in and put some skin in the game. There are a lot of people out there, you know, that all they want to do is attribute, according to our sources, and you know, blah, 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 and, you know, all monotone in their living and their thinking and their speaking and never really take a stand, you know. And so I admire people that will at least, you know, just kind of pull it out and say, hey, here it is. Here's what I think is going to happen. And they do it for the right reasons. They don't just do it to drive traffic. You know, and there's some people in my industry that will tell you, that's why you should do it. No, I think you do it because you have to have some integrity in what you say and what you do. That's how I feel. I don't know how you guys feel. But that's the reality of the thing for me. And so, yeah, I think, I believe, I hope, I expect that Luke Kromenhock is going to be a Mississippi State Bulldog sooner rather than later. And, of course, I'd love to wake up in the morning and he will have, you know, text us or announce it on Twitter or something. That would be great. But I think it happens this week. I think he makes a decision this week. And, again, the dead period begins on Sunday. So he's running out of opportunities to go visit. And, again, no scheduled visits. And it's not just him saying, well, you know, we're still kind of talking about it. Nobody else has put it out there, right? And that's the thing you look for, right? Because we're all chasing the same news. And at some point, somebody gets it. You know, like if I found out, hey, Luke's going to visit somebody else this weekend, I would say, you know what, maybe we got the wrong read on this thing. But if he doesn't visit another school, and the dead period begins midnight Sunday and runs through January 5th, going to run all through the holidays, you got to feel good about that. If he takes another visit, maybe in trouble. But as of today, no other visits are scheduled. I think that's important. That's a thing to remember as we kind of move forward. And of course, if you're with us at jeanspage.com, you can read his first comments, his only public comments at this point, about his visit to Mississippi State. And it was very important. I didn't push this one off on one of the other guys on the staff. I said, you know what? This is too big a story. Our people need to hear this from me. And I've been doing this longer than the rest of my staff. And I said, you know what? I will probably be able to kind of read him and interview him in a way. I didn't just want to just go through the regular questions. I told everybody on my staff, I will interview Luke when I get home from Tupelo. You guys get everybody else, and I'm going to get Luke, and then we'll move forward. We'll kind of figure it out. Because I understand how important this recruitment is and how much interest it carries with you, and I think it deserved my attention. So that's why that's the one I wrote today. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You'll say, Steve, what's all the fuss about? Well, you'll see for yourself. Their Facebook page will come up, and you can peruse through all the pictures of all the great amenities available to you and your guests when you stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Whether it's a couple's weekend, a family weekend, perhaps a college roommate's weekend, or even a midweek trip, they book all year long. So plan ahead. You be the linchpin in your group to make these plans. Don't sit around because everybody says, well, we need to get together more. Well, take the leadership role. Make the plans. Book the trip. You'll be glad you did. Stark Vegas is a wonderful place year-round. We love having you here. Come to a men's basketball, women's basketball doubleheader type deal. You know, the women play on Tuesday, or the men play on Tuesday, women on Wednesday. You can take them both in and have a great place to stay. Five soon-to-be six bedrooms, two bath, a great back porch area, the full-service kitchen, the fire pit area, so many great, great amenities. And it's off the beaten path, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So incredibly convenient to campus. So whether you bring that or a work group, you know, maybe it's a pleasure trip or a work trip, rather than go out and lease five hotel rooms, do this. Have some common areas for everybody to kind of sit, work, and congregate, but have some own private quarters where you can have a room to yourself. You'd be glad you did. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to have some booking options come up. You're going to have Airbnb, VRBO, but if you book through the Evolve website, I can save you some money. The Evolve website, use promo code BSR10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. How about that? Just by listening to this show, you're saving money at the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right. Tuesday night, Mississippi State will be in Jackson, Mississippi. Christmas break here. We like to take show on the road, as you guys know. And taking on Central Michigan. Still plenty of tickets available. We need to sell some tickets. We need you to come out. It's a 6:30 tip. So for those of you that live and work around the greater Jackson area, you can come down and be a part of this against this Chippewa team. It's pretty good. You know, it's not going to be a situation where we're just going to, you know, just show up and kind of go through the motions and win a ball game. We're going to need you there to kind of make the difference. And a lot of people in that area have reached out and said, hey, Steve, you know, can you help us a little bit to kind of promote the game and get people here for, you know, to cheer on the Bulldogs. And I remember, man, we used to go all the time for this. We absolutely went and went and went. Because it was just easier for us to get there sometimes. And that's a thing, too. Being a kid, going to these games when Mississippi State plays away from Starkville is often a really cool thing. You know, I've shared with you guys before, when I was a kid, it was a rarity for us to get to see the Bulldogs play any sport. So when we did, I understood the sacrifice that my dad made to bring us there. The Chips, fire up the Chips, 5-4 this year, 3-3 in away games. And real quickly here, a narrow win on the road at South Alabama, 74-70. They lose by one at home to Stony Brook, 72-73. They lose to Marquette. It's a very solid mid-major, 70-62. Close win over George Mason on the road, 70-69. They blow out Central State at home, 86-52. Narrow loss on the road in Minneapolis to the Golden Gophers, 68-65. They blast Purdue Northwest, 115-69. And then Aquinas College of Michigan, that's a road game for them. They win that thing, 93-69. Really the biggest loss they've had margin-wise came at Valparaiso. We always love Valpo, don't we? We do. 93-77. So outside of that, you know, every one of those losses has been highly competitive. We expect something similar tomorrow. We'd love to come out there and play like we did against Pitt and just dominate from start to finish, but that isn't how things have always gone for them. But they're averaging right at 80 points a game, outscoring their opponents by right at 9. Again, a lot of close games other than that Valpo game. Shooting 47% from the field, allowing just over 40. From beyond the arc, shooting right at 35% and then giving up right at 30%. Not a great free throw shooting team, just shooting 69%. That's nice. No field goal defense out there for free throws, but their opponents are shooting 71%. We've shot them well at times this year, other times we haven't. And it seems like at times we kind of go as Cam Matthews goes, but rebounding has been a strength for them. They're not a dominant team on the glass. 39 boards a game, averaging just over 7 over their opponents. Handed out 15.4 assists a game. Opponents just a dozen. And turnover margin is interesting. It's pretty much, you know, kind of, you know, half six one way, half a dozen the other. They're turning it over 14.6 and then creating 13. So they're not really gaining a lot of possessions there. It's a difference of just 1.2. So that's interesting. Assist-turnover ratio, not good either. Right at 1. But 70 steals for them, 69 for their opponents, 29 blocks. Opponents have blocked 21 shots. But very interesting team And again, if we show up out there and just kind of act like, it's okay, it's no big deal, we could be in a real barn burner of a game. That's why it's so important for you guys to attend. Jacoby Hetty is the straw that stirs the drink, averaging 13.1 points a game. Also been a really good rebounder for them, 66 boards, which leads the team, 51 of them on the defensive end. Anthony Pritchard, 13.6 points a game. It's a kind of a two-headed monster there. Also a decent rebounder, pulling down, about 4.5 boards a game. They don't have a guy that just dominates the glass. One of the better rebounders is Caden Vasco. He's also pulling down about a half dozen boards. So, we'll have to get out here and play, but we need you to come out and be a part of this. I'm also going to be signing books at a event at Lemuria. It's right there. I can't remember the name of the little place there, but there's an alumni event before the game, and we encourage you to come out and be a part of that. We'll have the smiling faces of your alumni association will be there. I hope Michael Richardson is there. I hope so. He typically is. Really like it when Mike turns out. Mike's a lot about what's right at Mississippi State. Big, big Michael Richardson fan. Janet Downey, too. They do a great job. And been with us a long time now, too. Certainly have done a good job. And names that faces people that represent Mississippi State the right way. So that's the next game, obviously. And we need you to come out. And again, I reiterate that, how important it is to be there. So if you've been on the fence about going, we encourage you to turn out. Now, Mississippi State women are 10-1. That was a wild finish on Saturday. Nuts, Game's headed to overtime, and then a silly foul on a half-court shot sends us to the line to knock off a very, very scrappy Belmont team. Now, ladies are in action tomorrow on the road at Louisiana Monroe. That's going to be a 5 p.m. tip. So I'm sure we'll be kind of keeping up with that before we head over to the Coliseum. But, is this a game that we should win? We think so, right? That's kind of how it always is. It's good to be in a situation, too, now on both sides of things where we expect to win. This Louisiana Monroe team is not great. They're 3-5 overall. They've lost 5 games in a row. Started out, obviously, with some very subpar competition. They beat Central Baptist, Louisiana Christian, and then they went on the road at Southern Illinois. The schedule has gotten a little bit tougher, but there have been some games here you look at and say, maybe you should have done a better job. They host Alabama and get beat 75-52, and they played 4 consecutive road games and lost all of them. They lose at Hawaii and then to St. Mary's in the Bank of Hawaii Classic. Those games were competitive, though, 69-64, 68-61. They lose at Lamar, 71-60, and then they play Georgia Tech. So we have an opponent in common, and the Lady Yellow Jackets took down UL Monroe 97-37. And so, we expect them to, come out and protect the home floor as best they can. But this is a game that we should be able to simply out-athlete them, averaging 67 points a game. Looking at shooting here, 38%, 21%. From beyond the arc, their opponents are shooting 35%. So perimeter defense, not really a strong suit for the Warhawks here. Rebounding, it's been pretty much equal. 39 boards a game and then giving up 37. Not really playing good team basketball, just 96 assists, 12 per game. Their opponents, 16.5. Turnovers have been a bit of a problem, 14.5 per game. But they are creating some turnovers too. Almost 18 turnovers for their opponents per contest. They will get out there and play a little defense, 76 steals on the year, right at 10 a game. Blocks hadn't been great, but they also hadn't given up many. But, I know many of you can't make the trip to Jackson, so you will kind of maybe watch the doubleheader. You'll watch the women and flip over and do the men. But Ja'Kayla Johnson leads a team of 14 points, and then Maloney Thames, or Timms, depending on what part of the country you're from, averaging just under 13 points a game. So it's a game we expect to win. We need a doubleheader win tomorrow. We do. It's not going to be long before we are in conference play, as you guys know. The month of December is when you kind of begin to start fine-tuning things in your rotation, kind of figuring out, who you can trust. And that's a big aspect of all of this, is figuring out who deserves minutes, who can put the ball in the basket. The ladies return to Humphrey Coliseum on December 29th. We're going to play one game between now and Christmas, and it's going to be at Maryland Eastern Shore. And then we'll get South Carolina State here to close out the non-conference portion of the schedule. And then we'll open up on the road at Kentucky, a very good Kentucky team, a place that's given us a lot of trouble. Remember how crazy that game was last year. But a lot to cheer for if you're a Mississippi State fan. All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in today. I'll be back on Wednesday, and we will try to get that show up for you early on Wednesday. That'll be our plan anyway. Maybe we record Tuesday night, maybe we do Wednesday morning. We'll try to get it up for you so you can enjoy it during your work day on Wednesday or as you drive around this wonderful state of ours, this great nation. But a reminder, Christmas is coming up. I've given you guys some great gift ideas. But no matter what holiday that you observe, you know, we celebrate Christmas in our house, but we are respectful of all people from all backgrounds, all religious beliefs. You know, that's a very personal thing. But a lot of people celebrate some pretty cool stuff this time of year. And I hope that you are in one accord with those you love. If you're not, let me encourage you to reach out and kind of share, you know, the spirit of reconciliation. I can tell you as somebody who has been on the outside looking in at my family at points in my life, it makes it a very lonely time of year. And this is a very difficult time of year for people that we love. I mean, you know, we talk about Mike Leach passing away a couple of years ago, and very difficult holiday season for the first time, you know, when you don't have your Santa Claus there. And so the thing that I ask of you is be respectful of all people, you know, but most importantly, let's love each other. Let's love the family. We can have disagreements. We can. I'm not above it. You know, and I'm willing to talk about it. And I think that's one thing that long-term recovery has taught me is that, you know, I'm not going to walk around on eggshells. If there's a problem, I don't mind having the accountability discussion with you. And if you feel like you need to have one with me, you go right ahead and do it. You may have to beat me in the argument, but I'm not afraid to have the conversation. And I think that's one of those things, too, that it's so important to me. I've lost so many people in my life, tragically. It's not a contest, right? But I've had multiple friends murdered. I've had several friends, too, of course, who have died of drug overdoses. And the thing that teaches me, number one, that I need to be a great friend and a great family member, because I never know when I'm going to lose the chance to make peace with that person. So as we prepare for the holidays, please remember that, and those around you and those families that may be estranged from each other, they are worthy of our prayers, our support. It's a great time of year for so many of us, but for others, it's a bit of a nightmare. And so I try to be very sensitive to that, and I hope that you will be as well. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.